Sorry, Joe. We keep nerding out.
It's all good. I'm just doing my taxes over here because that's more interesting. In a shocking twist, the Trump administration finally embraces DEI by hiring the very first Indian American director of the FBI to head up their new call center for federal crimes. Thank you. David, that one's for you, bud.
That's what happened. That is what happened.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Human Reaction Podcast. We are today without our friend David Rand, but I am joined by my friends Kyle Mack and Bennett remotely. I'm again alone in the studio. It's a weird time to be doing this podcast, but we're still doing it and we're having
fun. We've been having some scheduling conflicts lately, but we're still making it go on.
The show must go on, as they say.
I'm just hungover, so I have no excuse.
Bennett, this is a family show. We don't do that here.
Yeah, we never would say anything crazy here.
We would never. We would never say anything crazy, especially the opening joke I just told.
Yeah. Well, it's Trump's America now. You can make those jokes.
It's true. We're back, baby. We are so back.
Jokes are back.
We are so back.
Legalized comedy.
And we are glad to have you back.
Not in India.
Guys, pipe down. I'm trying to do the thing. Go ahead and smash the like button and comment and follow us wherever you're following the podcast, wherever you're listening. All right. You want to jump in, guys?
If you are a small business owner looking for exponential growth, you have to connect with Adam Thune at Intellectual Patriots. He will revolutionize your business game and help you get to the next level. Adam can streamline your business practices and advertising strategies to improve your bottom line. His expertise in data engineering means he can build you the systems you need to collect and analyze market data. His mission is to provide you with invaluable insights to fuel your success. From grant writing and business proposals to digital systems integrations, even AI management, Intellectual Patriots is a one-stop shop for cutting-edge solutions. Don't wait another second. Visit intelpatriots.com to learn more. That's intelpatriots.com.
This episode is brought to you by Revved Up Promo, the official apparel partner of Human Reaction. Revved Up is a premier full-service shop specializing in laser engraving, screen printing, and embroidery. Not only are they now making all of our apparel right down the road from us, they can do the same for your brand and ship it to you anywhere in the world. Revved Up helps you navigate the extensive universe of merch options and uses state-of-the-art techniques to showcase your brand in its very best light. So if you want to support our show and our generous sponsor, you can now do so by buying our merch and by turning to Revved Up Promo for your own custom apparel needs. Reach them at revveduppromo.com. That's with two V's and two P's, or just check the show notes for a link.
Yeah. First, before we jump into it, perhaps also relevant to what we're talking about, I got a meme from the Discord I just pulled. I believe Cheryl put this one in here. Says, IRS, you are being audited. And then Trump goes into his coat and pulls out the Uno reverse card. And the IRS guy's sweating.
Oh, I love to see it. Can you guys believe that... not just an IRS audit is on the table. In fact, like being carried out, people being fired from the agency, but that more than one person, in fact, I think now three different people within the Trump administration have said that abolishing the IRS is on the table. That is fucking insane to me.
Hell yeah, brother.
It's wild to be like how fast things are moving right now and how much change seems to be on the horizon is pretty insane, especially after watching like the Sean Hannity interview with Elon and Donald. Why did I just call him Donald with Trump?
Yeah, that was weird.
I mean, it's appropriate.
Yeah, he's with Donald.
He's just one of the boys now.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where you're looking at all that and you're just seeing like, you know, the media is trying to tear that duo apart. They're trying to divorce them, and it doesn't seem like that's happening. I have a lot of people that keep telling me, oh, Elon's going to be out in 6 months, and I feel like they're feeding into the propaganda a little too hard. I don't see it. I think Elon's here to stay, and he's making a lot of cuts, and he's also, Doge has also taken on this role of enforcing the executive orders as well, like making sure that they actually happen, which is another interesting role for Doge.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think that Elon and Trump are way ahead of that game, the whole like divide and conquer game. I mean, they tried to do it during the campaign even, you know, post election as well, pre inauguration. It's just, it's the same bag of tricks. I think they're seeing through it. And frankly, I mean, if the poll numbers suggested something different, I could see Trump maybe making a different decision regarding Elon and Doge, but the people support it. I mean, this is what we voted for, right?
Actually, I had
apparently
just pulled,
not.
I had just pulled this into the notes. It wasn't kind of what we were planning on talking about up front, but probably worthwhile since we're here is Rasmussen put out this poll saying that 47% of the country believes that we're on the right track. This is actually a record high in the history of the poll.
Wow.
How long have they been doing that?
Decade.
6 months.
20 years.
Oh, shit.
20 years.
Damn.
So, like, we might be seeing that going above 50%, and especially as things keep progressing. Like, we've never seen presidential approval ratings be, like, you know, really in, like, the 60% or something like that. If we end up seeing that with the Trump administration, like, this would be unprecedented. Like, it's just like the media has a narrative, and then there's actually how the American people are feeling.
Right.
Those are very disconnected.
Never more so than they are right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, to get to the important news, guys, the U.S. lost to Canada last night, 3-2 in overtime. Or did they? We've got a clip here for you to pull, or a post rather, Kyle, if you want to pull that up, because they just. They don't know how we roll. Canada doesn't know how we roll. They think they won. Wait until we find more goals at 3 a.m. Boom, bitch. Got them. Especially once they become the 51st state, then they're really susceptible.
I just want it to happen so Canada can never claim they won a Stanley Cup again.
So I haven't been paying attention. I haven't been paying attention to the Canada-U.S. hockey going on. What is the current status of the series right now?
Canada won last night. Like, it's over.
Like, Canada won one? Is that what happened?
Yeah, they won it over time.
So does that mean that they don't become a 51st state? Or, like, how does that work?
Yeah, they won their independence last night. If the U.S. had won, they would automatically become a state.
So does this mean we're going to war? Or, like, I'm a little confused on the mechanics of this all.
According to some Canadians, I think they think we are. I think they're taking these jabs that Trump is throwing at Trudeau and Canada pretty seriously. Never seen Canadians so upset.
I haven't checked in on my Canadian family since with the hockey game recently, so I'm going to have to check in on that and report back to you guys and see where we're at there.
I'm sure they're just relieved that they didn't get beat by the U.S. That really would not have been a good look for them right now.
Okay, so on to actual news.
All right. That's the news.
Sorry.
Okay, so again, scheduling conflicts. Things are a little different these days. Obviously, David's and Helena trying to pass Defend the Guard. We appreciate that. Kyle, you've been super busy. I was put in charge of running the editorial this week, for the most part anyway. Kyle, you put together a lot of stuff for the Skiff, which is going to be super interesting, talking about Javier Milei potentially being impeached over a crypto pump and dump. So if you're not a member, definitely go to humanreactionpod.com, become a member so you can get the exclusive content from the Skiff. But anyways, as I was searching for what to talk about, I was just like, well, there's a new Grok out. Maybe it's got some good insight. And so I asked it to basically aggregate the top news according to X from the last week. And its top news story was the release of Grok 3.
Nice. I was just like, that makes sense.
Can AI already be a narcissist?
I think we've just proven that it can. And then I was like, okay, how about more political news? And it basically gave me a bunch of stories about what is happening in Indian politics, the country India, leading me to believe that it might be slightly biased in favor of the programmers that coded it.
All those H-1B programmers, huh? Well,
the caption's really good.
Well, speaking of Indian politics, Kash Patel, I just pulled it up on Twitter. Kash Patel just got confirmed 50-47. That's right. I got an image of him here.
Congratulations, Kash. Oh, wait. Oh, that's not right.
Wait. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Here's Kash Patel.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. Twitter is absolutely crushing it right now on the Kash Patel news. And truly, very, very exciting thing. It was a 50-47 vote in favor of confirming Kash Patel as director of the FBI. He put out a statement about it, and we can pull that up. But I found it interesting to note on the vote totals for the last four FBI directors. Mueller was confirmed 98-0. Comey was confirmed 93-1. Chris Wray was confirmed 92-5. And Kash Patel was 50-47. So what does that tell you?
Really, that is actually fascinating.
Bunch of racists.
These Democrats and their racism. Oh,
times have not changed, have they?
Well, doesn't that just tell you everything you need to know?
It does.
Is that we have actual change coming in right now, because all of these are so contested and they're just coming down to these party lines right here.
Yes, for sure. And the Democrat reactions are also telling as well. But let's pull up this this statement full screen to see if I can read it so far away. Kyle, why don't you read it?
Yeah, so Kash says, I am honored to be confirmed as the ninth director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Thank you to President Trump, I call him Donald, and Attorney General Bondi for your unwavering confidence and support. The FBI has storied legacy from the G-Men to safeguarding our nation in the wake of 9/11. The American people deserve an FBI that is transparent, accountable, and committed to justice. The politicalization of our Justice Department has eroded public trust, but that ends today. My mission as director is clear: let good cops be cops and rebuild trust in the FBI. Working alongside the dedicated men and women of the Bureau and our partners, we will rebuild an FBI that American people can be proud of. And to those who seek to harm Americans, consider this your warning. We will hunt you down in every corner of this planet. Mission first, America first. Let's get to work.
Hell yeah, brother.
I need to follow him.
Yep. Apparently. Yes, you do. He's already got last I checked, about 500,000 Twitter followers, probably more by now.
Yeah, this is a big one. And just like, it's on the level of Tulsi Gabbard and of RFK, of like change agency that seems to be coming here in all these departments.
For sure. And you can tell that by the FBI's response to Cash's confirmation, which is pretty clear.
Yeah, they took to Twitter and they didn't like it too well. They said, oh, shit.
Not happy. And
clearly, a lot of people are going to lose their jobs. So,
I mean, you would think so. The trend of this administration so far has been that way. And I can only imagine that Kash, obviously being a Trump loyalist, as the left might call him, would certainly open the doors and the books to Doge and be looking to trim the fat and to get a lot of the bureaucracy out. And obviously, before he was even nominated, he said, if he was the head of the FBI, he would shut down the Hoover Building on day one and turn it into a museum of the deep state, which is where most of the administration of the FBI takes place. Really pointing to the idea of putting, you know, more agents in the field to go do what they're supposed to do.
Granted, to go be cops.
Yeah, but granted, I mean, analysts and you know, office people are necessary for the functioning of an agency like this. So, like, there have to be some. But if USAID or, you know, any of these other orgs are any indication, what was 14,000 can be 300 or whatever. So I would look forward to that.
Well, and yeah, there's also a good point there, too. If we haven't seen Doge go into the intel agencies yet, really, like they did USAID, which is, it's not an intel agency, but it's an intel agency. But then we're going to be seeing particular audits going on in the FBI, CIA, etc., probably coming soon. So far, Doge has been focused on like Social Security and, you know, the IRS and USAID and things like that. We haven't even seen them sweep through these other agencies yet.
Interesting responses that I saw. One in particular was from Adam Schiff,
Can I just say I hate that guy more than anyone in government?
He's actually the worst.
His face just says evil, right?
So even before I, like, you know, came over, got red pilled, whatever, I was like, there's something about that guy that I just do not like.
Yeah. And same with Strzok. What's his name? Strzok? I forget.
Peter Strzok.
Peter Strzok, yeah. Just an evil face. Anyway.
Schiff has really been at the center of...
He was Russiagate. All of,
yeah, like Russiagate, everything on the, like the weaponization of government towards Trump. Like Peter Schiff was, Adam Schiff Peterson. Peterson. Okay. Yeah, he's the gold guy. Adam Schiff. That's who I'm talking about. He's been at the center of all of the actual weaponization of government stuff. So, like, if anybody's going to be taking flack for a lot of these and probably seeing some sort of repercussions, it's probably going to be him because he's been.
Who was? I think it was one of the first women to get confirmed in Trump's cabinet that her and him had a back and forth too. And he was just such a prick during her confirmation hearing. I forget which one it was. It was the blonde woman.
Pam Bondi.
AG?
Pam Bondi?
Yeah, maybe.
Attorney General?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That would make sense. Well, yeah. And speaking of cleaning up all the weaponization of government, all the corruption, like, that is her role. So if anybody has the, if anybody he should be, focusing his targets on, it would be her. Okay. So here's his take on Kash Patel coming in.
This is someone we cannot trust. This is someone who lacks the character to do this job. Someone who lacks the integrity to do this job. We know that. Our Republican colleagues know that. The only qualification Kash Patel has to be FBI director is that when everyone else in the first Trump administration said, no, I won't do that, that crosses moral, ethical, and legal lines, Kash Patel said, sign me up. In the first Trump administration, as we are seeing in the second, you rise to the level of your sycophancy. And no one is a bigger or more dangerous sycophant than Kash Patel. This political hack does not deserve to be in this building. He can't do the job. He won't protect the public. He will misuse the resources of the Bureau. He will weaponize it against the president's political opponents rather than the protecting the safety, the public safety of the American people.
But Adam Schiff is the worst criminal in Congress in the last 250 years. And what we're Adam Schiff met with a whistleblower. Adam Schiff went to the podium day after day after day saying, I know nothing about this. We're not going to discuss it. We're going to protect it. And then Adam Schiff, led the prosecution of the impeachment trial in the Senate of President Donald Trump. Talk about someone who was conflicted out of the game because he was part of the hoax that brought Charmella in, manufactured that false accusation, and then peddled it out to the world. And he continued, not surprising, he's lied about almost everything in his life. But now he lied just to set up a presidential impeachment. And that's what I was talking about, these disinformation campaigns. And then he should be investigated because he lied to the world about his interactions with Charmella, who is a whistleblower, and I can't stress it enough, that started a presidential impeachment. Now, your history is way better than mine, but I can't remember the last time a president was actually impeached. It's a significant process and escalation, and it's reserved for the time when it actually shows a crime, not when it shows the manufacture of fake information to show a fake crime. The guy that found and manufactured the evidence with Charmella was the prosecutor in the case against the target of the investigation. That is the ultimate, from a prosecutorial standpoint, conflict of interest. But he knew what he was doing, and he thought he would never get exposed. And I think thanks to, I think it was John Solomon and his fantastic reporting, we now see what I've been saying for years, that I thought he met with him for sure, and it will come out, and it now has.
So you can see why Adam Schiff might be a little down on the whole idea of Kash Patel leading the FBI.
Dude, it's going to be so... It's going to be so fascinating to see how all of these picks actually end up what I'm going to be curious is how bogged down do they actually get, or how much power do they actually have to make the change? Like it's going to be curious is the regime going to be capable of pushing back against them? Like, what do you guys think about that? Like, what type of blockades do you think we might see in all of this?
It's a good question. I mean, I'm certainly no political insider, but I would say that certainly any operatives, like agents within the Bureau who have contrasting political views or worldviews, could do a lot to sort of gum up the works, on the ground, basically, for this stuff. As far as what they're able to do, I think it's going to really depend on how effective they are at cleaning house and replacing some of those people with with people that are interested in actually pursuing the truth in a lot of these more politicized issues. But, you know, that remains to be seen. I mean, I don't know. The U.S. military is seeing record recruitment under Pete Hegseth, at least, you know, a significant jump over the Biden years. I could see the same going for the FBI with a Kash Patel character at the head of it, a renewed enthusiasm for law enforcement potentially from people who would be interested in taking on those kind of roles.
The whole thing is just, you know, if you asked me a few months ago, I would have been like, oh, there's going to be all these blockades and it's probably not going to happen as fast as we would hope things would happen in all of these agencies. But since Trump's been in, it doesn't seem like they've had any defense against anything.
I mean, they've had these few legal challenges.
Picks are getting in. Yeah, there's been some legal challenges and things like that, but like they've been relatively minor. I think part of the strategy for the regime was to still try to like flood Trump with people that are just not going to do the job and are going to like stall things out. But you even had it like I mentioned up front with the Hannity interview with Elon and
Donald
Trump and Donald, the boys, the two bros,
stepbrothers.
That was a big theme that they had in there is like, you know, Trump will do something and it just won't get done. And Doge is here to make sure things actually get done. And it's like, is it really just that simple? Is that all you just needed is somebody to be there to be like, hey, we got to make sure it happens.
Yeah. I mean, that's
and
a really good
that
question.
Just wasn't happening before. And that's how everything kind of gets into this massive mess.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point. Doge is sort of like the enforcement arm of these executive orders and of the like executive overhaul of the bureaucracy, which obviously Trump didn't have in his first term. But I think the second component to this is there might be an underestimating of the second Trump administration based on the deficiencies of the first.
Yeah,
I don't know that they saw them coming in with such a game plan and such focus and clarity like they have. And I do think that the efficacy that they've had so far in the first month has just been a little bit overwhelming. Like it, you know, the media arm doesn't know what to focus on. They're scrambling to get their talking points in order, especially after the USAID funding has cut off the pipeline potentially of, you know, the dissemination of the narratives. It just seems like they're on their heels, and it remains to be seen how time will change that. If, you know, this blitz that the Trump administration is on slows down, there'll be more time to sort of coordinate and figure out their plans of attack. But I mean, if they're doing everything legally, right, and mm-hmm. there's no actual court challenge that they can mount that will stand, the only fight that they have is the court of public opinion. And so far, as you pointed out with the Rasmussen poll, people are into it.
Well, and, there's a good point that you raised, too, of the previous Trump administration, where that was a super leaky ship. Like, things were getting leaked to the press nonstop all the time. Nobody could be trusted. Like, it seemed like in the first administration, the only people that Trump could trust was actually his family. And now he has a squad of people around him that extends beyond just his immediate family, and he's able to trust. And he's got like go-getters, people that get things done, and like actually strong people around him that also see the general vision.
Totally.
And it's making it so fascinating to watch. It's like nothing I've ever seen in politics before, really.
Yeah.
We got another clip here from Cash talking about, and this goes into, I think, something that we all kind of had on our bingo cards, or at least I did, talking about Epstein and the Black Book. And this is probably where we're going to start to begin to see real revelations coming about these types of things, like the Epstein dynamic, right? Mm-hmm. Here is
the Epstein Black Book, like, On day one, roll out the Black Book.
So will you work with me on this issue so we know who worked with Jeffrey Epstein in building these sex trafficking rings?
Absolutely, Senator. Child sex trafficking has no place in the United States of America, and I will do everything, if confirmed as FBI director, to make sure the American public knows the full weight of what happened in the past. Well, the Epstein Black Book, like...
Pretty promising stuff. And this comes right on the, well, I mean, this comes at the same time, basically, as Attorney General Pam Bondi has also said that she's promised to release the Epstein and P. Diddy client lists. Now, will she? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, speaking of that,
just as we were, you were kind of getting all the text sites set up. I was looking into some Diddy stuff because there was some news. I guess Diddy's lawyer just resigned because of the Cash Patel confirmation. And he quote said something along the lines, I don't have it directly in front of me right now. I don't have it directly in front of me, but he said something like, there's nothing I can do at this point. it was something like that.
Yeah, it was essentially like, good luck.
Yeah, Polymarket, the prediction market, brought Diddy's stuff from like 20% to 40%. like there's a massive jump on Diddy.
On what exactly? On the files being released?
On Diddy files being released in particular.
Well, this is such an interesting and powerful combination between AG Bondi and Cash Patel as director of FBI, because the FBI were the ones that went into Epstein's house and took the tapes and allegedly still have the tapes unless they've destroyed them. So you would think Cash Patel would have that evidence and could deliver it to the AG. And at that point, I mean, all hell is going to break loose, you would think.
Is that the thing that like they left for a couple days and then went back and they were gone?
They ended up, it's alleged, I think, that the FBI took the evidence from Epstein's house. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. See, here is a 43% jump today to Trump declassifying the Diddy list.
Yeah, that's a.
I mean, this is crazy because, like, I don't think it can be underestimated, like how many influential people in Hollywood were around Diddy, and how many influential and powerful people in politics and science and global leaders all over the world were involved with Epstein. I mean, if these things are to come out, if actual evidence was to be presented that these people actually did what is alleged that they did, I mean, what does this even look like? We're talking about high level people being brought to justice for terrible crimes. I mean, this could shake up the entire world if this stuff comes out.
Well, and there's also an interesting dynamic with the Epstein thing, and I'd be curious if Diddy is a similar dynamic. Is the intelligence ties with Epstein? And there seemed to be, because everybody knows about Epstein. Epstein didn't kill himself, blah, 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 right? But there seemed to be a obfuscation op that occurred. And you see this with kind of like the documentaries that were made about Epstein, where everybody tries to really hyper-focus on the pedo stuff, but they try, and then they try to peel away and they don't really talk about, and they try to like center it in with this sole entity, which is Jeffrey Epstein. And they try to kind of whitewash and just poo-poo away the intelligence ties that Epstein had. And it's always been one of the things with, if the Epstein files are released, how much of that will be redacted from the American thought? Because it's so clearly, like, I think if you've paid any attention to Epstein, the Mossad ties that exist here, like Ghislaine Maxwell's father was Mossad. Like, that is confirmed. We know that.
That sounds pretty anti-Semitic of you.
How dare you.
Yeah. And that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen with all of this. And Mossad is essentially the sister organization of our CIA. Like, they work in tandem together. Like, so it's like an American Israeli operation together, likely in some fashion. Now, to how deep that goes, we don't know. And that's something that would have to come out with the declassification of all this stuff.
For sure. Super interesting stuff. I want to skip ahead, though, because some other interesting news came out this week that I think had a lot of people excited and some people sort of confused and scratching their heads and actually even critical of the idea. Elon floated the idea that Doge would pay American taxpayers $5,000 dividend checks from 20% of its total $2 trillion in savings that it's projected to produce over the course of like the next 18 months or 2 years or so. What do you guys think about that idea? Is that a good one?
I'm down for it.
I mean, selfishly, yes. Could very much use that.
Well, the exact thing. So here, actually, I have a clip from Trump where he's talking about it here. And the exact pitch to the people is 20% goes back to the citizens, 20% goes to the debt.
Only 20?
Yeah, that was the pitch. I don't know what so makes up the other 60%. I think it's just back into the budget and used.
I mean, honestly, I'd be down if you give the citizens 10 and put 30 into the debt. I'd be okay with that too. I would rather us pay down the debt.
You guys, this is this is ridiculous.
also to come with that,
I'm not going to turn down money though.
but also that being said, these are coming from actual cuts, which also helps the debt, right?
Yes, but it's still it would still have to be a budget item.
I would rather us be more aggressive in paying down the debt.
I think I'm going to take the other side of this issue. Yeah, as much as having $5,000 in my pocket would be awesome.
I'm being Kyle and being on the fence. I'm playing both sides.
No fence sitters here. You got to take a side. I think it's a stupid idea to pay people $5,000 each because, well, for one, we have $36 trillion in debt that we need to deal with. All this money should go to that. Every single penny of savings should go to paying down the debt because if we don't do that, we're all going to be super fucking poor if the country defaults. And secondly, and I don't know that this is super clear, but what would be the inflationary effect of basically giving everyone a stimulus check again? We saw what happened during COVID. What would happen this time?
Yeah, but this isn't coming with printing of money though. Either.
Yeah,
but still, you're injecting a lot of cash
because a lot of the stimulus money in COVID actually came off of the money printers rolling. Printer go burr.
That's fair. That's fair. I just wonder.
To me, this seems much more of like you're just getting a. It's similar to like in Montana on property taxes. You get a lot of the money that's unused goes back to the citizens every year. I get a check every year from Governor Gianforte because of taxes that weren't used from property taxes. Isn't that how that works? This is just like returning the money that's completely been unused back to citizens while also putting money into the debt. And that money does stimulate the economy and create a larger should in theory create a broader tax base.
Let me lay out an alternative option here, right? What if, and this seems like it's on the table as we already addressed, what if we didn't get $5,000 checks, but we got rid of the IRS and the income tax? I mean, that would put more money in your
all
pocket
of the above.
Sold.
Over the long term.
All of the above.
I will accept this deal.
Well, here, let's play the Trump clip here before we go too far, because he kind of it's a minute and a half of him talking about it. So I think it helps kind of give more context to the people.
Taxpayers, billions and billions of dollars every single day. And there's even under consideration a new concept where we give 20% of the DOGE savings to American citizens and 20% goes to paying down debt, because the numbers are incredible, Elon. So many billions of dollars, billions, hundreds of billions. And we're thinking about giving 20% back to the American citizens and 20% down to pay back debt and pay down debt, which is, if you look at value, if it were a real estate balance sheet, the debt is tiny, but we still want to pay it down. Doesn't matter. And we don't look at it as a piece of real estate. It's America. We're going to get it down through intelligence, hard work, and as Elon said, a word called caring. You have to care. By doing this, Americans will tell us where there's waste. They'll be reporting it themselves. They participate in the process of saving money. So many of the men and women in this room, as an example, they pay tremendous amounts of taxes. And here are just a few examples of where your money was going before I came along. These are just some of the, just taken at random. Oh, there are much worse examples than this. I was just looking at them before the speech, and I can tell you they were much worse. And there are some that are horrible, but I don't want to really say them because they're very, very embarrassing.
So I'm fine with this. Like, I'm completely fine with this. I don't really have any gripes about giving Americans their money back on this.
I mean, look, and on principle, I don't either. I just think there are higher priorities. Like, we're all going to benefit more if we pay down more of the debt, because that is a drag on everything. That's creating, you know, this enormous debt service, basically the interest payments on the debt that we have to all pay out of our tax dollars as well. And that's continuously compounding, right? So if we put more money into paying down our national credit card effectively, we have lower interest on that. We're all going to benefit more in the long term. That's my view on it. I think it's probably a time preference question, right? It's like, how much do you want cash now versus how much do you want to be wealthy later?
You know, one of the added benefits that is maybe a little bit more abstract, though, with giving the money back to citizens here is the psychological effect it ends up happening on citizens, where if citizens know that this money is coming because of the cutting of everything, like Elon was putting a conservative estimate on 10% cuts because just specifically because of fraud, waste and abuse. Right. And if Americans know that that's where this money is coming back, think about the psychological effects that this has on the future of the American psyche and in their voting patterns in the future. And
that's a fair
of
point.
Like we need to continue to cut things. And there's actually a reward mechanism for it. It's like maybe I've been wrong this whole time about just getting free goodies from the government. It's all wasteful and it's going to tranny dancing in Afghanistan or something like that. Right. and instead it's just like, oh, maybe we can actually use that money. And like, I don't like, what am I paying taxes for? Like, that's the kind of mimetic idea that's being sat in with Americans at large. It's just like, what the hell have I been paying taxes for? You know,
I think that's a totally fair perspective. And I think you're right. It's important not to underestimate the public cultural effect that mm-hmm. some kind of payment could make on people, in especially supporting more of this, supporting smaller government. But I think the long-term incentive is still skewed. You're still getting a handout basically from the government. You're getting your own money back. It's like getting a tax refund. You've basically just let the government hold on to your cash and now they're giving it back to you. So to me, it's like, I would want to see something like this tapered off over time as the situation improves, as the debt decreases. Like, we don't want to normalize the government giving people money, because that's kind of part of the incentive problem in the first place, don't you think?
Yeah, but also the incentive is the money comes from us cutting government, right? Like, it's not just we're creating all these programs to then redistribute wealth all the time. Like, instead, it's we're going to continue cutting the stuff. And eventually you run out of things to cut. Right. So like that pipeline, because it sounds like the idea here is it's not just one paycheck. It's like as things continue to be cut, there will be continue to be these dividends that go out. But eventually you run out of things to cut. Right.
I would think so. Yeah. And so, I mean, and also you would hope to see, you know, an unleashing of American prosperity through doing this, right? People mm-hmm. are paying in less tax money in the first place to fund less government. So they're maybe going to be getting less money over time as these DOGE payments reduce, as the size of the government reduces, but their own paychecks should be larger and larger as well at the same time. So hopefully that would just sort of, you know, naturally take over sort of the incentive process of keep, you know, just the value of keeping your own money in the first place.
Well, and also there's a thing too, because like, you know, we have the libertarian mindset where we think a lot of these agencies and departments and things like that should just generally be gone. Like, just put it all to the private sector or whatever. Like, that's generally always our inclination. But if we can't get rid of these agencies, but we can massively trim down these agencies and actually just make them efficient and actually do their job well, rather than being these bureaucratic nonsenses, like, that's also a great streamlined effect of this as well. And allowing Americans to see that is just like, oh, maybe these agencies aren't actually just better because we funnel extra billions of dollars every single year and continually increase their budget. Maybe that's just making them bloated. Maybe these agencies only need 200 people a piece or 20 people a piece or whatever, instead of the 20,000 or whatever it comes into. Like, I think it's just a general, I think part of the golden age mentality that's happening right now, because that word is getting floated in anymore, is that we're like on the precipice of this golden age. I think a lot of it is actually just a mindset shift on the psyche of the American population at large. And I think we're seeing that with the America going on the right track. It's like, there's something very interesting. Like, the memes themselves are changing around people's thoughts on government.
I think that's very fair.
Yeah.
I think that's very true. It feels like, and granted, in my circles, which I think predominantly are on board with these sorts of actions by DOGE and the federal government and the appointments as well is very positive. There's a lot of optimism, it seems, that's floating around. And I hope that stays. And I hope that the people that are like up in arms over what DOGE is doing start to see some of the fruits of what happens here and not just kind of, you know, brood in the mainstream media doomscape that they're painting of this situation and actually start to see that, like, hey, this is actually working. It's totally not as bad as they said it was. And maybe that brings them around a little bit too. I'd like to play this clip really quick, if we could, of Trump's, one of his economic advisors, one of his top advisors, talking about how cutting the income tax has been a part of Trump's plan all along. Because at first, this was sort of just trickled out. It was sort of just an idea, like, oh, maybe they're considering doing that. Sounds kind of far-fetched. But now it seems like, no, this is actually part of the plan.
Yeah, yeah, here. President Trump has spoken about replacing income tax with tariff revenue, especially with all this waste, fraud, and abuse that we're seeing cut. Is that a possibility?
Absolutely. And in fact, if you think about the China tariff revenue that we're estimating is coming in from the 10% that we just added, plus the de minimis thing, that it's between $500 billion and $1 trillion over 10 years is our estimate. And that's something that is outside of the reductions that markets are seeing through the negotiations up on the Hill. And so we expect that the tariff revenue is actually going to make it much easier for Republicans to pass a bill. And that was the president's plan all along.
President. Dope. Love it.
Kind of sick.
Bring it on.
Kind of sick.
Well, and that's always been the thing is, like, Trump's mental model around taxes is going towards more of a tariff model while reducing all the other taxes. Like, that is his model. And you can kind of gripe about, is that the best model or whatever? But that seems to be his worldview of like reducing cap gains, reducing income tax, reducing on all the things that kind of make business within America more difficult and just being a citizen in America more difficult while putting the burden on outside entities, right?
Yeah.
Which there's a hidden consumption tax that exists with tariffs in general.
Certainly.
Like, but that is the model, and you can see the logic of where things are going. And if income taxes can be reduced and all these other taxes can be reduced while happening it, I'm open to it.
For sure.
I'm open.
I'm here for it. Bennett, are you on board?
Yep.
Bennett's here for it. All right. Well, to close out the show today, I figured we would do a quick check-in on our bingo card game. For those of you that have been tuning in for a long time, and many of you have, obviously, you know, we set up bingo cards of things we thought were going to happen right at the beginning of the year. And actually, we've been far more right on some of these things than I expected. Some of them have come completely out of left field. Some of them, I think we saw kind of the writing on the wall. But let's do a quick check-in and pull up those graphics real quick.
Who do you want to start with first?
Let's start with you, Kyle.
Or start with me. Okay, cool.
Start with you. Kyle, I think you are currently in the lead. There's a lot of green on your board here.
Yeah.
What do we got? So I'm pulling this down so I can see it a little closer. Actually, I'll just pull up my other file. So Kyle, looking good.
Some of these are maybe a little bit, there's some subjective judgment to be had at this point on whether or not I've marked them. Like, for instance, the JFK files and MLK files being released, like, there's kind of a plan to do so. We haven't really gotten all of that yet. So, yeah. But it seems like that's probably a shoo-in, right?
Yeah, I would think so. At this point, the execution hasn't totally happened. They've still got this time window of release. I forget exactly what that time window is, but the executive order was signed for them to be released. So I think we can assume that that's going to happen. Now, DOGE is objectively proven successful. I don't know. I was just looking at the debt clock, and they're up to $120 billion in savings, according to debt clock.
And the American people love it in general. Like, they
I think that tracks.
But we didn't vote for that.
We didn't vote. No one voted for Elon Musk.
No.
Elon voted for Elon, though, for sure.
Major scandal at OpenAI. I feel kind of like I'm cheating on this one because technically the thing that we covered this in the skiff, but technically that had already occurred. Like, is this thinking about the potential assassination stuff?
That's what I was thinking.
Is that
what
that being marked?
I think
it's
so.
It's not exactly what I had in mind, and that's not like confirmed to be true. I'm a little bit hesitant to have that green at this point in time.
Well, we should note here that these are, according to, with some updating that we just did before recording the show, these are confirmed according to the judgments of our very unbiased grand overlord, Dr. A, Adam Thune, in the Discord. He is adjudicating all of our wins and our potential wins here. The yellow ones are the potentials that could happen. So I don't know about the scandal at OpenAI, but I do think that, you know, the potential for the Department of Ed to be abolished is pretty likely at this point.
It keeps being floated. It keeps being floated around.
It keeps being floated. I mean, at very least, they're getting significant cuts. So even if you don't win that square, it's still a trend in the right direction for us. And some of these other pending ones, I mean, actually, before that, U.S. troops have engaged cartels on the border. So you and I both got that square.
I will say my general thought was actually much more of a Mexican-American joint effort on the war on cartels. But I think the general spirit of it, I think both of us got correct. Yeah.
Well, and I think that has actually started to come to pass as well. I believe that there's an understanding between the U.S. and the Mexican government. I know that the military is flying drones, surveillance drones, over Mexico, looking for cartel infrastructure, kind of maybe mapping out a plan. So we might see this develop a little bit more thoroughly. Not necessarily something that we support per se. I mean, I don't know about you, Kyle. I don't necessarily support like a war on our southern border. I think that's a pretty bad idea.
That is a bit more of a me being maybe hyperbolic on it. I think just general intel operations and joint efforts between Mexico and America to clean up the cartels to kind of stave off the immigration and drug problem.
Yeah.
I'm more open to as a concept.
I think that's valid. We'll pick on a couple more of these and then we'll move on. Ukraine war concludes. I think that is pretty likely. Obviously, we have some news this week that Putin and Trump had a very productive call and have planned to meet, but without Zelensky. So, and one of the terms of that's being floated as a part of this this peace negotiation is that there be new elections held in Ukraine. So it both seems like, on my bingo card, Zelensky will be out and the Ukraine war will be ended at this point.
Let's maybe the things that I need to get bingo actually, and I think are all quite probable still, is record number of deportations. I think that's extremely likely. And then Bitcoin breaking 200K. This is kind of crypto is in a bit of a bearish situation right now. Things have been, everything that's like not Bitcoin has been collapsing in great form right now. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And I'll talk a little bit about that in the skiff because President Milei of Argentina is kind of in the middle of it right now. Mm-hmm. Those are the two things that I need for my bingo.
You're missing one major one that I think is even more likely, and that's major tax cuts passed. If you get that one and then the Ukraine war ends and the Epstein files are released, which it sounds like
that's true. Yeah.
You're there.
Yeah, yeah, but also if he gets that one and the Department of Ed is abolished, he gets it diagonally.
Yeah.
Damn. Kyle has three ways to win. This is not looking good for us.
Let's jump over to yours, Joe.
Let's do that. And in the future, we'll have to come up with some, not too distant future, we'll have to come up with some sort of prize because we never really got that far with the bingo card thing. We'll have to figure out what the winner gets.
Yeah, either loser either shaves their head or grows their hair.
See, I just want to make David wear a wig for like a month worth of episodes. I think that'd be really fun.
Well,
all right,
Joe,
so looking at
Joe, why are there blanks on yours? Did you screw something up?
Oh shoot, yeah, that's it was red and the text was white, so I just forgot to change the color.
Oh, okay.
That one said Kash Patel is not confirmed. Glad to be wrong on that. Totally.
Well, which
that
one? There's two.
Oh, there are two. What's the other one?
Oh, Joe, just looking at this, you're really looking for Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce to break up.
Yeah. That's you're pretty close. That one seems very likely.
I feel like
when they stop getting their US aid funding, that's probably going to happen, right?
True. True.
That's a joke. I have no proof of that being the case.
Eh. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? But that Super Bowl loss sure does kind of put a rift between them, right? Because now...
Well, and she's sort of getting brought into the Blake Lively thing that's happening, too.
Oh, yeah. She's taking sides there.
Well, she's like getting brought into it, and she does not want to be involved.
Oh, that's exciting.
Because I love a little drama. She could end up having to go to court, and I think she wants nothing to do with it. So, yeah, she's got some shit going on, and obviously Kelce losing the Super Bowl and just being a ghost out there was not.
Hey, you know, like, Joe, you have Elon retweets Human Reaction on X, but we are partnered with Liam, who did recently get retweeted by Elon.
No, I tried this, Kyle.
No, it was a response. It wasn't a retweet.
It was a response. Okay.
It was a reply.
Yeah, because Liam tweeted out saying it was something about Ron Paul auditing the Federal Reserve or the IRS. I can't remember.
I think it was the Fed. Yep.
Yeah, it was the Fed. Yeah, it's like Doge should bring on Elon to audit the Fed. And Doge should bring on. Elon replied to it saying that that'd be a great idea.
Absolutely. And I do want to say, I'm going to float a little teaser here for you guys. Liam has an incredible interview coming up next week that I will be helping him produce on this topic. So I'm really, really excited for that. You definitely want to subscribe to Liam's channel on YouTube, The Liam McCollum Show. Follow him on X at M Liam McCollum. It's going to be a really, really cool week for our boy Liam. And he's got Defend the Guard stuff happening right now as well. That legislation is leaving, hopefully leaving committee on Wednesday. So could be a big week for our boy Liam. Mm-hmm. Overall here, I think ones that I'm excited to see on my bingo card come to fruition. Mitch McConnell leaving Congress seems ever more likely now that he's announced he's not running for re-election next year.
Although that's probably not going to happen this year, though, right?
Yeah,
right.
But I mean, I don't know. He's 83.
It would have
he's
to be an extenuating circumstance here.
Yeah, he's already
like he falls on his back and he can't get off his turtle shell. Like, what is it?
Am I not turtly enough for the turtle club?
Bennett, our live soundboard.
That's right. Who needs a stream deck when we got Bennett? Let's move on to David's card here, quick. He's got a few that are likely. He's definitely behind in the confirmed category.
He's much more in the maybes.
But he's got a lot of things that don't actually happen until later in the year, potentially, and things that are more systemic and cultural, like, you know, BLM 2.0 media cycle or new Nord Stream pipeline revelations. You know, the Reform Party in England overperforms or AFD dominates in the election. That one we won't know for a little bit. But you know, he's got
Biden makes a fool of himself after leaving office. I feel like that's got to happen.
You would think. But man, if I were anyone surrounding Biden, I would keep him the hell away from the news media forever.
I mean, at this point, it doesn't matter.
Right, exactly.
Kind of.
Yeah. I mean, what purpose does it serve for him to be in front of a camera ever? And it doesn't serve any.
So, yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, with the prevalence of social media and camera phones and stuff everywhere, people will inevitably capture something. I'm sure that one comes true.
Yeah, a lot of the things on Dave's are things that are definitely going to be more of like later in the administration stuff. Like they're going to be priorities, I think. But there's also a question of, is it this year? Could be like some of these things I could see happening in 2 or 3 years, you know?
Mm-hmm. And some of them are going to take, like you said earlier, some of them are going to take some judgment calls on Adam's part. I mean, the death of the woke narrative and Dems abandon their base. Parsing out whether or not that's actually happened is going to be a challenge for Adam, I think.
You know, that's actually a good question, is the Dems, because like in my mind, I feel like I would have seen more pullbacks on a lot of the things the base has been really putting forward in the Democrats. But there seems to be a lot of doubling down that's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm a little bit shocked by that. Like it actually, I'm shocked to the point where I'm looking, because you know how midterms always seem to go to the opposing party all the time. Like you almost think that the Democrats would pick up seats in the midterms. If things continue on the trajectory, and granted, we're a ways away from this still, but if things continue on the current trajectory, I'm like, Trump might have Republican House and Senate again in the midterms.
It's very possible. And I did just see something recently. Another executive order was signed that really formalizes the executive branch's control over like the FEC, for example, the Federal Election Commission, which ostensibly would be to institute some sort of election integrity reforms within the, you know, that system, which could, you know, potentially if there is fraud in the system, and I think a lot of us think there probably is, that could do a lot to maybe put the brakes on the Dems overtaking anything from the Republicans in the midterms as well.
Oh, I want to show you guys as we kind of close out the show. I want to show you guys something.
Wait, it's just real quick before you take this down. That top left one for David never happened. Ben Shapiro debates Dave Smith on Israel. No chance.
I said that on the episode where we did the bingo cards. I was like, yeah, that's Ben. Dave is too old to be debated by Ben Shapiro.
He only debates college girls, right?
He only debates 18-year-olds.
That's a fair point. If it did ever happen, it would probably be the end of Ben Shapiro's career. Just saying that. Let's move on to our friend Emily's bingo card. Emily was one of the Skiff members and Discord members who submitted some bingo picks for us. So we made her a card. She's got a couple coming in pretty good right here. We got JFK files becoming public, and we got the J6 protesters released from jail. And some other really interesting things. And what I appreciate most about Emily's card is that she went a little bit more like pop cultural than we did. We're obviously all just like stuck in the political weeds over here.
We're all nerds.
She brought us out into the mainstream just a little bit with some, this one on, we discover Blake Lively is a bully and wanted to It Ends With Us. That one has had some interesting developments. And honestly, I've been following it more closely since Emily put this on her bingo card. It looks like Ryan Reynolds might be the villain. What's your guys' take?
Yeah, no, I'm kind of on board with that. I mean, I don't think Blake Lively is innocent by any, like, she's certainly not a victim here. But I think Ryan Reynolds is more like the man behind the curtain sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, Emily has like a really strong line here. Epstein list revealed, likely going to happen. Mm-hmm. The Blake Lively situation, I think I would give it to her.
I would give it to her, honestly.
Diddy goes bye-bye, especially with everything that we just saw with the lawyer quitting today.
Which, again, like, because of the general nature of the way that her statement was phrased, could mean, I mean, he goes like to prison, which he currently is, I guess, so maybe that doesn't count. But I'm assuming she meant sort of the same thing that I meant.
Diddy doesn't kill himself. Kill himself type of stuff.
Yeah.
We have JFK files becoming public. That's going to happen. And I think God will probably send a major earthquake to California.
As if those poor hedonist pigs haven't suffered enough, Kyle.
Yeah, I think that's likely to happen. It'll be their punishment for going against God Emperor.
Love you, California. Yeah, and then there's some other like really interesting things in here, like reopening of the accidental death of Tafari Campbell, Biden admitted to hospice. I think that's certainly likely, or at least possible, given we know he's not in good mental shape. Human reaction pods with Dave Smith, really, really optimistic there, and we had a shot, didn't quite work out. Maybe in the future, though.
I think highly likely if there's anybody to make contact with aliens, it is Joe. Like, Joe would be the one to make contact.
Yeah, whatever square is here. Joe Sheehan makes contact with aliens via his drone. Now, we did parse this one out a little bit before we started recording. If you count illegals as aliens, I could simply go fly over the nearest Home Depot with my drone and make contact. So, Emily, I might make that one happen for you.
You might get a reward also.
That's true. I could get some money.
That is the thing. It's like, we shoot in Bozeman, Montana, and there have been reports of people making money catching illegals in the valley.
You know what's crazy? The other day on my street, we've had this like big thaw. We've had a ton of snow, but it's warmed up out here in Bozeman. And I was actually flying my drone. I was flying my drone for a real estate project down the block from my house, which was so convenient. And I hear like tires spinning in the road, and I look over and there's like a white sedan that's just like totally stuck in some slush. And I was like, oh, they probably need a push. And I went over and I was like, hey, do you need a push? And went up to the window and she said, no, speak English. And I was like, put it in reverse, go backwards. And I was able to shove her out of the, the snow, and she drove off on her way. And as I was walking back to my driveway, I was like, oh, I could have gotten that reward, couldn't I? Oh my God. I'm kidding. I didn't actually think that, but at this point, now I'm thinking that.
You're, in hindsight, you're like, man, that would have been $2,500
or whatever. I saw the joke coming, but it was, yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm just not a very kind person. It's fine.
Yeah. So a lot of our predictions, they look like we did pretty well. We had some like meme predictions, and they may or may not happen. Some might happen down the road, but not this year. But overall, I think pretty good predictions. It's one of these things is we really just followed, like, Trump seems to be keeping a lot of promises, and we kind of just predicted alongside those promises in a lot of ways.
And not least of which, of course, we've all got the free Ross Square, which is so awesome. Yeah. So anyway, there's a refresh on our bingo cards. We will keep you updated periodically as to the progress. But if you'd like to keep track of the progress in real time, we have a bingo channel in our Discord server. The link to our Discord server, if you'd like to join it, is in the description below the video. We'd love to have you. It's a great time. Lots of conversation, lots of memes, lots of breaking news being shared. Adam's favorite thing, breaking news. Anyways, I think that's probably a pretty good place to wrap up.
Before we close out, I want to show one video. CPAC was going on, and I think that this is also a bit relevant to what we're going to be talking about in the skiff. Is I will play the video here, and you guys can see it for yourself. The video. We have President Javier Milei coming out and gifting a chainsaw to Elon Musk at CPAC.
This is pretty awesome.
Chainsaw for bureaucracy. Damn. Chainsaw!
I'd be so nervous if I was that guy right there.
That's a big bar on that chainsaw right there. You cut a lot of government with that sucker.
All right.
Fire it up, dude.
Mr. President, thank you so much.
All right.
Yep. So, because we'll be talking about in the skiff is Milei may be facing impeachment in Argentina over crypto. And it's a bit complicated. And as the resident crypto nerd, I will explain what is going on there. But I don't think he's actually going to see impeachment, but he is under a lot of hot water right now.
He's being
investigated for corruption and the like.
Yes, we will see. Can meme coins take down the first libertarian president in the world? I hope not, but if you would like to find out our takes on it, please do become a member. Go to humanreactionpod.com to find out how you get access to all of our exclusive content like this one we're about to record. Once again, for Kyle Mack and for Bennett, I'm Joe Sheehan. Thanks for watching Human Reaction, and we will see you next time.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to become a member and support the show financially, check out humanreactionpod.com.